Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Very much
forgotten how to run the equipment after 2 days off.
There, how's this? Good morning, check, check, toy boat. All right.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, is that
No, we had some amateurs at the catbird seat last week, and everything's been adjusted, so.
I didn't adjust the
thing. Trying to get things back to
normal.
All
I did was turn it on and turn it off.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, you didn't touch anything.
Didn't touch anything.
Didn't slide anything, didn't adjust
anything?
No, yeah,
I saw your notes all over everything. Joe, do not touch. Joe, do not touch.
Well, I don't know. And Ben does a good job at the catbird seat, so we appreciate everybody filling in. I got a couple of undeserved days off last week and enjoyed. Took my lovely bride down to Hershey for a while. We had fun.
Saw
relaxed.
Pictures of all your food and desserts.
I know. That's her specialty.
Very decadent. Very decadent.
I'm still full. So, yeah, we had fun.
I don't doubt that a bit.
It's great to get away. I've never seen so many tulips in one place.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hershey loves tulips, so I guess Milton Hershey was a big tulip fan.
Well, all right. Whatever floats your boat.
Right, or pop your bulb in the morning.
I like to watch the koi. They have all those wire nets over them, so I guess you can't go in and
right,
pull
them out.
You're
not allowed to catch them.
Not allowed to catch them.
Right. Yeah, or tease them. You're not supposed to feed them either, so... yeah, they do that. And then after all the tulips are done blooming, they take them all out, put them someplace else, and put a different flowering plant in there.
Oh, they must be very busy down there.
Right. So interesting landscaping job. What are you doing? Well, it's tulip pulling day. So they put all the bulbs in something else and bring them back. It's funny, the tulip bulbs, we have a few at our house, and the bulbs are just sort of maybe the size of a golf ball or something. These tulips are as big as a hardball. They're big. I don't know why the bulbs are so big. But big bulb, big tulip, I guess.
And they feed them chocolate.
These are happier. Well, they fed me a lot of it, so that's all I know. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect, you still can. Lots of folks, thousands of people have done so. It's an opportunity for us to send you a link when there's breaking national or local stories. If the link has plausibility in your life, then go ahead and click on that link and it sends you to a story we've posted at wkok.com. If you're saying, well, I don't really worry about that particular rose closed, doesn't bother. You don't have to click on the link and then you're good to go. We don't sell your phone number. We don't sell you any ads. It's just an opportunity for us to tell you we've posted something breaking at WKOK.com, and that's called the Text Connect system. So we invite you to sign up for that. I'm trying to think of what the last Text Connect message was.
Well, you weren't here. Probably they sent one out over the weekend while you were away.
I doubt it.
Oh, okay. They don't do it when you're not here?
Well, yeah, they definitely do. I hardly ever do it anymore, but I just can't remember what it was. Probably the tornado watch a week ago, or maybe severe thunderstorm watch, something
could have
like
been,
that.
Yes.
Oh, we had a tornado watch last week, so that probably would
have. Maybe we had to have a best of the tweets.
Best of Text Connect.
Right.
These are the biggest breaking stories. Well, they're not really good news, generally.
Nothing's really happening, but we wanted to send you something to let you know we're still alive.
Well, there we go. We have some more messages left this month to send out.
Right.
We might do that. We have messages free tomorrow, but we don't use it for frivolity.
Oh, well, there's no fun in that, literally.
All right. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.
Big week in Washington this week. So the Attorney General is supposed to testify before Congress on the Mueller report, but he's saying, no, I'm not going to go if you're going to allow staff lawyers to question me.
What's the big difference? I heard this remark on CBS.
Well, he wants the senators to question him, and I don't blame him, you know. They are the ones who are supposedly have the authority to do it, and they should be the ones to ask the questions, I would think. They certainly can get questions from their lawyers if they think the lawyers will ask better questions than they might. The difference would be, I think, that the senators can't resist the impulse to politic and to campaign, whereas the attorneys might stay laserly focused on, you know, just the issue.
All
Although,
right.
That's what they're being paid to do, so I would assume that would be a reasonable assumption.
So, and what day is the testimony?
Well, it was supposed to be, I think, Wednesday, but
okay.
I don't think it's going to come off now.
Oh, because of this impasse.
I found it interesting. I sent you a CNN story this morning called Trump Prepares to Fight Back Against Investigations as Congress Returns to Work. It's a rather long story, and now, of course, CNN's tone is that the president is obstructing. Again, he's going to throw all these roadblocks in the path of, Congress as they attempt to do their oversight, or they call it oversight. The president calls it political hackery, if you will. So, should Mueller himself testify? Probably. You know, I think they have every right to ask him questions about why he didn't come to any conclusion, what was there in the report that led him to believe that the president may have committed obstruction of justice, but didn't actually, right. So I think it's fair for Mueller to testify. I think Barr, they're just out to get him because he dared to offer his own interpretation of the report before they released it to the Congress, which I think has upset the Democrats no end.
And has Mr. Barr's encapsulation seemed to be in lockstep with the real thing?
Well, I think it certainly was a generous assessment of the real thing on behalf of the president. But I see how you could reach that conclusion. I mean, I go back to the fact that after 2 years, thousands of investigative hours, all those interviews they did, all the people they talked to, all the evidence they took, and they couldn't arrive at a conclusion, I would say that's pretty close to exoneration. I mean, if there is smoke there, you'd think they'd find the fire.
Right, and no one is more surprised that he got off scot-free than the president himself. He certainly, he knows he's broken the law and is very close to it on many occasions, but didn't sort of do a blatant felony that they could track down anyway. So no one is more surprised than he is.
Well, now the president, of course, is resisting all these subpoenas for his tax records, his business records. You know, are they legitimate areas of concern now? I mean, things that he did before he was elected president?
Is there somehow that the curious and who say that absolutely, positively, we must look at the tax returns can do so privately without disclosing what they find in them? I mean, unless they find criminality or something, that would be a different
story. But that would be the IRS's job to determine if there was criminality.
Well,
not the Congress.
I don't think the IRS searches for conflicts of interest. They say you have X dollars that came in from X source and you paid X tax on it. I don't think they're not a criminal investigation. They're a tax auditing firm.
But should your taxes be subject to that kind of scrutiny?
Oh, I don't know. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Do I think so? I don't know. I'm really hesitant. I think it's a pretty deep dive. I'd have to see there is a search warrant for this. I'd have to see the affidavit for a search warrant. Because if you submit a search warrant, you already know what you're looking for. If folks are familiar with it. I mean, you can't just call, maybe lay people aren't super familiar with this, but if you're a police entity or an investigating entity and you're searching for something within somebody else's property, you have to already have an idea that it is there. In other words, there's probable cause to indicate, let's say if we're going to search for dead chickens at Joe's house or something.
All right.
Bad example, but...
Well, there's some in the freezer.
Right. We have to see hundreds of live chickens going into the house and none ever coming out. So that would be the probable cause that, you know, maybe this is happening. So I'd love to see the affidavit of the search warrant that says, we think the president has this conflict of interest that is illegal. Here's the evidence of it, not proof, but the evidence. We need the search warrant to look at the tax returns to see if it has that evidence. I haven't seen that. We haven't. So, and not all findings of search warrants are public. Every time around here, you know, the judge can seal the findings of a search warrant. He can seal the affidavit. He or she can seal the findings of it, especially if they found nothing. Then the whole thing can be sealed and never in public eye. So I think that...
But that isn't the Democrats' goal. The goal here is to do everything they can to make the president look like damaged goods prior to the next election.
Yeah, I don't think that will stand up.
I don't blame him for resisting all these subpoenas and all these investigations that the Democrats are launching. I mean, the fact remains that while he complained and moaned and yelled about the Mueller investigation, he cooperated with it. He allowed his people to testify. He submitted the documents requested. He did not sit down for an interview, but then he didn't have any obligation to do so. So now, you know, the Mueller report comes out, and the Democrats were saying, well, we think the Mueller report ought to speak for itself. But then when it didn't say what they wanted to hear, they changed their mind about whether it should speak for itself. And now they want to bring everybody before Congress and find out what may have been underneath the surface, if you will, of the Mueller report, the underlying evidence. Well, if Mueller's team of professional investigators looked at the underlying
evidence, democratically controlled and motivated,
if they looked at it and they couldn't determine there was criminality, isn't that sufficient? I mean, we spent all this money in the Mueller report. If that isn't the end of it,
but we got that money back.
How many times did you see memes or posts from people on the left saying, "Oh, come on, Mueller, hurry, give us your report so we can get rid of this guy"? Well, it didn't work out.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners, late in the show Friday, when Mr. Ben and Todd were here, said, hot off the press, Trump thinks he's above the Constitution. Trump scrambles to keep all crimes and corruption from Congress. His wall is replacing the old sections only.
I think that's a reference to the physical wall along the border.
Okay, so the whole thing doesn't relate to this. It relates to that.
That's why there was an ellipsis there.
I got you. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the number that Bobby dialed first thing on Monday morning. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to say, from having practical experience of investigations and being sued down in Philly and bad taxes, well, it wasn't my bad taxes up in Scranton, and being on a jury here in Northumberland County, I mean, everything is on evidence, of evidence presented, no matter what you're dealing with. And as far as the president, he cooperated with the Mueller investigation and gave them everything that he was required to do, and of course, you're innocent until proven guilty. So at that point, I think the president is doing his job, and the Mueller investigation did their job.
Okay, so we don't see the evidence. We're also asking, though, sort of the follow-up is there a sort of a smoking gun that indicates that we have to look at his tax returns to wrap this up once and for all, or maybe just to further a whole nother investigation? So that's what we have to see. You know, maybe it isn't in the Mueller report, but what is it that they're searching for in the president's tax returns? All right, Bobby, thank you so much for calling in. You know, good observations.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. What has the president done that we need to see his tax returns? What's the crime that committed? What's the probable cause? Maybe some folks in our audience know that. Chris, you know the answer to this. What has the president done? Why do we need to see his tax returns? 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We have a highly paid consultant that says you have to repeat the number three times before people get it.
Well, I could have told you that for nothing.
Oh, well, okay.
Would have been happy to.
All right.
One of our listeners says, Bob says, good morning. Trump has told 7,000 lies since elected. The best one so far is a woman can choose to kill their child after birth. Why see his tax returns? It's lies, lies, lies.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
And on an upbeat note, thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. Dan, you are on the mark. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you know, Trump's crime is he beat the establishment at their own game. He outsmarted them, outwitted them, and people like me got to vote for a man that's working for us, and the establishment hates it. The swamp hates it, and they're only the only. That's the only crime Trump committed, and he's winning for America every day. He makes America's life better, and I for the life of me, I cannot understand why people don't get it yet, when we're growing every day as a nation. Our GDP for the first quarter, 3.2%. When we had the past president told us we'd be lucky to see 1% again. So you tell me what Trump's crime is.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, the affidavit is private, at least for the tax return. As we monitor all the Democratic candidates, I think probably most Democrats are just watching and saying, hey, you know, anybody but Trump is the real, you know, momentum that they want to see
happen.
But,
you know, they all talk about what Trump supposedly did wrong. He's using his office to influence, make money. And I read a very interesting piece this morning, and admittedly it was on Fox's website, about Joe Biden and his relationship with the Chinese and going over there and helping his son, Hunter, close business deals in China. Well, what's the difference? You know, the swamp is the swamp.
Right. It's obvious moral failings, unwanted intimate contact with women. None of that's going to matter because they're both equally guilty of it. They both have too many foreign ties. Just half the country is going to want anybody but Trump, and the other half is going to want
And then
President
you have
Trump.
Bernie, a socialist, trying to get through the door, and other socialists trying to get through the door. And now they're, you know, every it seems like half the Democratic candidates are coming up with more free stuff they can give, and the cost is trillions and trillions
and
of dollars.
And the reparations, don't
While
forget.
At the same time screaming about Trump raising the national debt. So, Dan, this isn't, I mean, Dan, the president does not walk on water, Dan. I'm sorry to tell you that. I mean, the guy.
I never said he did, and you're taking me wrong. I don't think he's near God, but he's the best president, as I keep saying, in my lifetime. He's getting things done.
You're very young, aren't you, Dan?
Nope.
Dan can walk on water.
I'm not very young, and I've seen a lot of presidents come and go, and they made big promises. President Obama made the promise he's going to make America. He didn't use the term make America great, but he used a similar term. How great did we get under his administration?
Super.
What did he ever do?
That's super great.
Tell me one. I can only tell you one thing he ever did for me. He made the donut hole a little smaller so I get through it quicker with medication. He did that, but I can't think of anything else. He made America worse. So we have the greatest president. I don't care what the left-wing media says. They lie every day. They talk about his 8,000 lies. I don't know how they have
you just
time
upped it
to
a thousand.
Count his lies when they're lying every moment of every day.
Dan, you're apparently aware of 1,000 more lies Trump told than our earlier writer. 3, he pegged 000. It at 7. No, he said 7.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're up to. But, you know, they ought to count their own lies. How many lies did they tell in the 2.5 years and pass that about Trump?
Well, I'm not going to
argue. How many nights did they tell you this is the last night? This is the tomorrow Trump will be finished, his doom sealed. And they're still saying it, Joe.
Well, this morning,
God, I had NBC on, Mitchell, what's her first name?
Andrea,
she was
Mitchell?
On there. She thinks the collusion investigation's still going on. Where's she at?
Well, there's
never saw such lying in my life.
Dan, there was a story this morning on CNN's website called Trump Prepares to Fight Back Against Investigations as Congress Returns to Work. And it said, President Donald Trump always ignores the rules. It's the secret of his political success. Now his habit of a lifetime is putting the checks and balances system of government to its gravest test in years as lawmakers return to Washington amid an escalating showdown over accountability. Trump is adopting a strategy of all-out resistance to sweeping Democratic efforts to use their House majority to investigate his conduct and his administration in a way that critics charge shows contempt for Congress and its constitutional role. So they point out what the critics are charging, but they don't say what the supporters are saying.
Right.
You know, and yes, I think that there are checks and balances, but that doesn't mean that the administration has to bend over and give the Congress everything at once.
That's for sure. And he gave them, he was completely open through the whole investigation there. He didn't tell anybody not to cooperate with the Mueller report. He went right along with it.
But now he is. But now, Dan, now he is telling his people not to come out.
And you know what? His base is with him. We know. This is truly what he always said it was, what I said it was. It's a witch hunt. They are trying to have a soft coup. They don't want him. They hate him. He's not part of them. He didn't go to the press the White House correspondence.
No, correspondence dinner again.
Yep, he didn't go there. And this year, guess who else didn't go? Sarah Sanders. They made the fun of her last year. They were hit her below the belt, so she didn't go. Guess where she went?
To Trump's rally.
Yep, Trump rally out in out in Wisconsin. She was there with Trump. Said a couple words. Trump's base is with him, and they'll never leave him as long as he keeps making America great. We're not going to leave him. He's doing the best thing for this country I ever saw. I never saw progress like we're having in my time.
Okay.
Well, the economy grew at 3.1% adjusted annually in the first quarter of this year, which President Obama told us would never happen again, that we had to accept less than that. You know, and President Trump, in fairness, he won't get credit for any of this from the Democrats. He won't get credit for a lot of the things he's accomplished and done. The fact that the job rate is unemployment's down among all sectors of the economy, Hispanics, blacks, whites, everybody. You know, and they'll just pretend that he had nothing to do with it or that it doesn't matter. But it does matter.
Sure it does, Joe. You hit that right. It matters a lot. Just think what our country would be going through if the other person would have won it, the Democratic Party would have won. I hate to think of where things would be at. And we can... Honestly, Joe, I do not think Trump walks on water. He just happens to be doing the job.
He's just very light.
Right. If my grocery store does the job right, I do not think the grocer walks on water. I do not think that he may make mistakes in his moral life. But if he keeps the price of groceries down and
doesn't
has
matter.
Good quality, I'm going to go there.
All right, we
and
got
that's
you.
That's how I look at Trump.
Noted.
Okay, thanks,
well,
Dan.
Well, you can walk on water, Dan. Do you know that?
Pardon?
You can walk on water. I know that could be true. If it's frozen.
Not even I can.
Yeah,
I
you can. Well, even if even you can.
Like you guys.
Even you can if it is frozen, okay?
And
you
thick
can
enough.
Walk on a frozen pond.
On it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care, buddy.
Appreciate that.
Yep. You guys have a good program. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
1-800-795-9565. Right.
Yes. So the president. Okay.
Well, you know, he has done. The economy is perking along. And you remember Bill Clinton ran on it's the economy stupid.
Yeah, longer than normal.
If the president can go into the 2020 election and say, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? He's got a compelling argument for the American people. Now, they're going to have to come up and say, all right, well, I may not like this guy personally, but by golly, I am better off than I was 4 years ago. I've got a job. And despite what Elizabeth Ocasio-Cortez says, that the reason unemployment's low is that people are working two jobs, which merely points out the fact that she needs to go back to school.
Well, and even if, you know, I'm not going to tout the president's accomplishments, but if somebody says, I'm not better off than I was 2 years ago or
4 years ago.
4 years ago. You're going to have to say, well, that's partially your fault. And I think I'll be on safe ground saying that. We'll argue this farther. And we have some other topics to talk about coming up. Joe and I will make them up during the CBS news break. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Mr. Rub Center, Fabulist, is his name. He used to be Fabulous, then he became Fabulouser, and now he's the Fabulist, and so we appreciate all his hard work and his help. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565, and that toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. And guess what? They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 to 2. They got a car wash, an alignment shop, a big vehicle garage there, all kinds of different tow trucks, and they'll take good care of you. Again, you can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. They would just love to take super care of you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Some very brief news headlines. We'll start out with a weekend recap from Ashley Thomas talking about some of the top stories at the anchor desk over the weekend.
U.S. veterans and active duty members will be able to enjoy a day of trout fishing this Sunday thanks to the Sunbury VFW Post 1532 and the Little Shamokin Creek Watershed Association. The two groups say it will be a time of camaraderie and fellowship for the vets. The event will be held at the Watershed Association's Long Environmental Stewardship Center at 182 Hauser Road near Sunbury. They tell us in a news release, at the request of landowners, 1.1 miles of the Little Shamokin Creek will be reserved for exclusive use of U.S. military active duty and veterans on this day. Watsontown police charged two teens after a traffic stop in the 400 block of Main Street last week on April 19th. Officers say they pulled over a car driven by 19-year-old Giovanni Santiago Fontanez for a lighting violation. While investigating, officers found his passenger, 18-year-old Crystal Colon Martir of Lewisburg, was under the influence of alcohol. She was charged with underage drinking. The driver was charged with driving without a license as well as the lighting violation. Citations were filed with District Judge Michael Deal in Milton. I'm Ashley Thomas, WKOK News.
Thank you, Ashley. Nicely done. A Mount Carmel man is jailed after lying to the county district attorney about urine. Northumberland County DA Tony Matalevich says 34-year-old Peter Gorney was scheduled to appear at the DA's office April 15th to provide a urine sample because of a drug tox screen that was planned. During a search of his clothing, officers found a clear bottle inside his underwear and seized it. Turned out to be fake urine that he was going to submit for the test. The DA says Gorney allegedly admitted bringing that clean sample to the probation office. That is a crime. We talked about this last week, but it bears repeating. The state auditor general says money from the gasoline tax in Pennsylvania has been diverted in order to pay the state police. The money should be going to road projects around the state, but instead is used for state police, a topic for which it is not intended. Eugene DePasquale announced Thursday results of his new audit of the PennDOT funds, saying they were forced to use the gas tax money to pay the state police. DePasquale notes transfers from the motor license fund to state police totaled more than $4.5 billion since the 2013-2014 fiscal year. That's money PennDOT could otherwise have used to address a growing number of needed repairs. So we've talked about this. What's the best way to fund state police? We'll talk about that in a moment. Finally, a new study finds that for the past 3 years, virtually nothing is hatching at Antarctica's second biggest breeding grounds for emperor penguins, and the start of this year is looking just as bleak. Usually 15,000 to 2,400 breeding pairs of emperor penguins flock yearly to the breeding site at Halley Bay, but the study says almost none of them have been there since 2016. The study author says the breeding pair population has increased significantly at a nearby location, but not enough. Scientists blame... You ready for this, Joe?
Global warming.
Right. Climate change and weather conditions that break apart the ice faster that's connected to the land where the emperor penguins stay to breed. The study is in the current edition of Antarctic Science. So you're anti-polar bear and anti-penguin. What do you think about that?
I like polar bears and penguins.
Okay. Well, you'd never know it.
I don't want them living in my neighborhood, but I like them.
Okay, as long as they stay in their neighborhood.
Right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. That's pretty funny if you didn't have grandkids, but you do. So that's the mystery. All right, we do want to talk about Eugene DePasquale stealing money from the state police. We're going to have to come up with something.
No, Eugene DePasquale is not stealing money from the state police.
No, he's talking about it.
Right, but you said we want to talk about Eugene DePasquale. Stealing money from the state police.
We want to talk about Eugene DePasquale, comma, subject, stealing money, comma, the state legislature, not the auditor general. No, he doesn't actually transfer money. He doesn't have anything to do with that. He just blows the lid off on it. We're going to have to find a way to fund state police. But we'll talk about that in a moment. We have the U.S. Attorney General, Mr. Barr, is going to be testifying in front of a...
Not at the moment, he isn't. He says he's not going.
No, he's not going because he doesn't... Only if the senators...
Senators question him, not the
senators
attorneys.
Senators only. All right. What do you think about that? Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I can tell you exactly what I think about that.
Not much.
Now, I remember Liz Warren talking about that Mr. Barr should be the chief law enforcement officer instead of the president's lawyer, okay?
I think she used.
In 2013, when Attorney General Eric Holder was called before Congress to testify about Fast and Furious, he said, quote, "I'm still the president's wingman, so I'm there with my boy."
There with my boy?
That's a loaded statement.
There with my boy, right. He was held in contempt of Congress that time. That's one of those no whisper of scandal.
For calling President Obama boy, probably.
Well, no, but I mean, Congress held him in contempt. But whatever happened? Nothing. I mean, that's and hardly anybody even knows about it. Unless you listen to the accursed Fox, you probably won't have. And then the scandal about the IRS that was, well, when an organization that was applying for tax-exempt status, okay, seemed to be a conservative group. They held it out forever, and lots of them they never gave tax exemption too. And it seemed like all of the ones that were liberal, they did. Now, what effect that might have had on the vote count, you know, that all these grassroots folks couldn't be out there knocking on doors, you know, as anybody's guess. But those are two really dandy scandals. That whole thing cost the taxpayers $165 million till it was all over.
Which one?
The IRS. Hmm. And yet...
nobody went to jail?
No. No law. Matter of fact, the lady retired with full bennies.
Okay.
That was responsible for it. I mean, it was a big scandal, except in the major media, you know. But don't you think that's pretty much saying you're his defense attorney and not the chief law enforcement officer?
Well, I guess it just depends on who's asking the questions.
Well, the president has his own counsel.
Yeah.
The attorney general is a cabinet officer who serves at the pleasure of the president.
Fair.
Now, admittedly,
sure.
Congress has to approve his tenure, but the president picks and chooses who serves as attorney general. So yeah. Would it be unreasonable to suspect there was some loyalty from the attorney general to the president? I don't think so. It's been that way in every administration since the dawn of the republic.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But still, with the other side saying that he should be the nation's chief law enforcement officer.
That doesn't mean he can't be loyal to the president at the same time or have some loyalty to the president.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right there.
That's like saying the Secretary of the Interior should be completely divorced from the president. Why? He appoints them. He expects them to give him advice and counsel.
And to carry out the president's initiatives.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I guess you guys are kind of talking to me different here.
Well, I'm just offering you another viewpoint. I mean, I agree there has to be some independence. If the president is committing crimes in office, the attorney general certainly should be aware of it and should certainly do something about it. But let's face it, the attorney general, if they impeach the president for high crimes and misdemeanors, the attorney general's not really involved in that. I don't think he may serve as the president's counsel in an impeachment, but I don't think so. I think the president gets to appoint his own counsel.
Yeah, that's true. It does.
So there you have, the Congress of the United States. They're the ones who draft the articles of impeachment, and they serve as the trial judges. The prosecutors. The Supreme Court provides justices to, serve as the trial judge, and the Senate serves as the jury and conducts the trial. So that's pretty much the way it runs. The Attorney General's not in that.
Yeah. But still, doesn't it seem a bit odd that Holder was held in contempt of Congress and it was never a big deal?
Well, he was held in contempt by a Republican Congress, just as I suspect Barr might be held in contempt by a Democratic Congress. It's more partisan politics. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just the same old game, different players.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Some of the players aren't even different. I mean, I look at the hypocrisy when Jerry Nadler was on record as saying that nothing should be released about Bill Clinton and nothing other than the report should be released, no background information. Now, all of a sudden, here it is, a Republican president, the background information has to be released. And he's not alone. There's plenty of hypocrisy on the Republican side, too.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's plenty for everybody, that's for sure.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Lance.
If hypocrisy were money from Washington, we'd all be millionaires.
Right. I like Harry's comment. The zombies, if brain-eating zombies were headed to Washington, they'd starve to death.
Right.
But they're already dead. That's the bad part. So they just keep on going.
And yet people keep trying to get there.
Well, look at Fred Keller. He hopes to get there. Hey, speaking
as
of,
does Mark Friedenberg.
Right. Mark will be here tomorrow. Tomorrow's his date. So he'll be here half hour, 45 minutes or so.
I thought our limit for political candidates was
half
an hour.
Okay?
It's a half hour.
I was going to check the record.
It's a half hour.
As a state representative, Fred has been here 45 minutes in the past.
Right. But
actually,
as a political candidates, we do limit to 30 minutes.
And as a private individual, he co-hosted one time.
Right.
So, all right. So we're welcoming Mark on board. I believe he's done with his classes. They may have already done finals, so he's going to hit the road and finally make an in-person appearance. He's been on the news line a couple of times, but that'll be tomorrow. Joe, I want you to think about this. What is your reaction to, this is from the Washington Post, the age-old parking enforcement practice of tire chalking is unconstitutional. A federal appeals court ruled Monday, and this is a week old, saying it violated the Fourth Amendment's bar to unreasonable searches. The U.S. Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit, in a first-of-its-kind decision, ruled that marking a car's tire to gather information is a form of trespass requiring a warrant, similar to police attaching a GPS to a vehicle to track a suspected drug dealer, parking attendants across the U.S. My tires have been chalked many times, Sunbury and elsewhere. Williamsport, I know, don't know if they chalk in Lewisburg or not. But anyway, I've been chalked many times with big white lines for decades in zones without meters to enforce time limits and issue tickets. It's a substantial source of revenue for many cities.
Well, it is, I think, something of a violation of your constitutional rights, despite, you know, although I think it's been done for years. And I think it makes a lot of sense. When you park somewhere on a street, you are subject to the rules of that parking.
You're not on your street.
Right. You don't own the street. We collectively own it. And the government has said, if you park here, here are the restrictions. You may not park for more than 15 minutes, or you may not park on Sundays, or you can't park when we're cleaning the streets. There are all sorts of rules and regulations respected to when and under what circumstances
you may
park.
In other words, we think you're not on private property. We think you may commit a crime in the hours ahead.
No, we are telling you, you parked here subject to the rules we put in place.
Right.
And to enforce those rules, if one of them is length of time that you're permitted to park, we have a right, in my opinion, to determine if you violated those rules. The simplest and low-tech way to do that is to chalk your tire, put a mark on the sidewalk. If I come back 30 minutes later, it's a 15-minute time limit, and your tire and my chalk mark line up, you haven't moved that vehicle.
Well, yeah, but I think it is an invasion of, not an invasion of privacy, but it's an invasion of your personal space. And
how's an invasion of your personal space? You're not in the car.
I can't just go.
Is your car an extension of you?
For two reasons. One, that you're not suspected of a crime, that you can't just identify somebody and say, okay, Joe, well, you drive a Ford Ranger pickup truck, so therefore, I think, or any vehicle, any kind at all whatsoever, and say, I think you're going to commit a crime. So therefore, I'm going to invade your personal space, which you don't have the same expectation of when you're on a public street. You're not even on your property. But to say, I think you may commit a crime, I suspect you may commit a crime, there's no probable cause for this. So, in other words,
it's not
no
a matter
crime
of probable. It's not a matter
it is.
Of probable cause.
You can't search somebody's vehicle unless you have
they're
probable cause.
They're not searching
cause.
It.
Well, they're saying, I suppose there is a possibility you'll commit a crime. So, just in case,
we got you chalked
instead.
You're thinking this all wrong.
Me and the courts, we're washed up.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous for them to say it's a violation of it's an unreasonable search and seizure. In other words, going back to my original argument, and I still think you haven't commented on it, and it's valid. You park there subject to the restrictions placed upon that parking by the city or the municipality.
Right, but the violation comes when you invade the space of the car.
But you're not invading the space. The car is parked on a public street, and it's parked there subject to the rules and regulations established in the community.
Right, but we have an expectation of a certain amount of free zone that you can't. Like, you can't just go in the vehicle and start searching it for
a
gun.
No one's talking about them doing that. They're talking about putting a chalk mark on a tire.
Chalk is the same thing. You're reaching under the wheel well. You're approaching the vehicle.
You're not reaching under the wheel well, Mark. You take a piece of chalk.
You don't have any probable cause.
You mark the tire and you mark draw the line from the tire to the sidewalk or to the street and then see if anything changed.
Joe. As I mentioned, we'll talk about this when we come back. 1-800s, please call us now on the parking meter illegal searches that people have been doing for years. 1-800-795-9565. Of course, Joe endorses them. I fall on the side of the courts that it is an illegal invasion. There's no probable cause. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll be right back.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. that hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Washington Post reported last week that this parking meter decision, while undoubtedly bringing joy to parking scofflaws everywhere, could cost some cities money, either in lost revenue or having to install meters where none are placed now. On the other hand, as Fourth Amendment expert Orrin Kerr of the University of South California Law School,
Southern California Law School,
tweeted, quote, "It seems easy enough these days for parking enforcers to just take a photo of the car or even just a close-up photo of the tire rather than chalk it. There wouldn't be any Fourth Amendment issues."
Oh, come on
then.
Now. How would they tell from taking a picture of the tire whether or not the car had moved? I guess because of the rotation of the lettering. But if the tire had no lettering.
No, the valve stem moves.
Okay, well, the valve stem. So. But still, the picture is subject to interpretation. It could have moved a fraction of an inch, and you wouldn't see that on a picture, but you would see it over the chalk line.
Wow, but it'd be hard to put a tire at exactly the same spot at exactly the same
element. Let's see what Greg has to say about this.
Greg's super smart. Greg, thanks for calling in on this topic. You're on the mark.
Good morning. For once, a lighthearted one that we have a difference of opinion on. To begin with, yes, my car is an extension of me. I bought it. I pay for it with taxes and annual registration fees. So if you want to touch it or do something with it, yes, you should have to have a search warrant. Two, their chalk marking isn't with standard chalk like you and I think. It's usually with a tire marker. And when somebody takes and pays money to take and detail their car or takes the time to do it, this isn't something that just takes and wipes off or dusts off. It's an annoyance. It really is.
It's not kids' sidewalk chalk. It's actually a paint.
No, it's not. It's like
it used to be.
Ink marker, and it doesn't just dust off in most cases. And third, there's technologies available to take and put in central meters where, like in Philadelphia and other areas, you go and pay a central terminal. It issues you a ticket, and you put it on your windshield. And if you're paying for 2 hours, you get 2 hours. If it's expired, you get a ticket. That's the simple fact of it is. But, yes, it's an invasion of privacy, and it is an extension of me. It's my property.
Okay, Greg, let me offer you this supposition and see how you respond to it. You park at a meter, and you don't get back in time, and your meter is expired, and the police officer writes out a ticket, picks up your windshield wiper, places the ticket underneath it. Isn't that a violation of your personal space, too?
Not in the sense, because I did break the law. But when they're taking a mark on a tire, it's only for unknown probable cause or whatever reason you
right.
want to use.
Just
they're hoping
pure suspicion.
To catch you breaking the law. The other one is I have violation existing, so yes, that's an acknowledgement of it. They're putting the penalty on the vehicle.
Greg, you're my new best friend. Thank you so much.
Why don't they need a search warrant to touch your vehicle?
Because I've already committed the violation, and they're not doing anything to further investigate. They're just putting notice on it to me that I have taken and committed a violation in their opinion. I have the right to appeal that or take and plead guilty by paying the fine.
But if I mark your tire and you come back and move it, nothing's happened to you. If you're gone within the time limit.
You touched my car and you physically marked my car, which is, to me, a violation of my personal space and property.
I will agree with you. If they put some kind of a marker on there that's indelible or doesn't easily come off.
It's not that it's indelible. It's kind of like a grease paint. A lot of places that it writes on rubber. And, you know, standard chalk doesn't always write on rubber, and standard chalk is subject to weather. So, yeah, I agree. It is a violation of my personal space, especially when you take and put the time and money into a vehicle. You know, you have a nice $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 car, and you cleaned it up this weekend. You go park Monday, and all of a sudden you come out and find a yellow chalk mark on the tires. You got it. You know, take the time to clean up. I'm sorry. That is a violation of personal space.
Right. It would be irritating. I don't personally detail my vehicle anymore, but I have, and I can appreciate what you're saying. All right.
That's my simple opinion, but good morning, guys.
Yep.
No, thanks for calling. We appreciate your call, Greg.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Bye.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Well, I hate to admit it, but Greg does have a point.
Appreciate that. Let's see. Well, I guess that kind of kills that. The rest is kind of background on this.
Well, you know, but I think that it does force cities then to put in meters. I guess that's always their other option. But some places, meters aren't just very functional. You know, the turnover isn't that great. There's a legitimate reason to limit the amount of time someone spends at a space. Years ago in downtowns, you know, where they had parking and didn't have meters, they chalked the meters to promote turnover. They wanted people to be able to get in to do their shopping. But now downtowns have fallen on less than boom times, and so now they're just glad to get anybody down there, even if they overstay their limit at the meter a little bit.
Well, Sunbury still uses their meters in earnest. I mean, they're still ticketing and so on, enforcement and collection.
I don't know about Sunbury, but I have in this area in Northumberland encountered dead meters where obviously no one has replaced the battery in them or, you know, done anything to them for an extended period of time. You know, so under those circumstances, I would suspect if they come along and they chalk my tires.
You can get a ticket in Northumberland.
Can get a ticket, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yes, oh, I know you can. But, you know, I look at it this way. If the community has a legitimate reason for limiting the amount of time you spent parking at a specific spot, a good, valid reason, they should have the right to enforce it.
Right. Oh, I agree with you there. And I think the photograph of the tire would be fine. The valve stem could sort of be the new chalk mark where you can see what the ground looks like.
But, Mark, you hold your finger up in the air. Relatively your face.
Okay.
And I could take a picture of it straight on and it looks one way, or I could take a picture that's slightly off to the side and it looks a little different.
Right. So the photographer is going to have to come up with a standard. You know, maybe hold the camera knee height to make sure they're always, you know, like maybe rested on their knees so that she or he always
has the same
angle.
And then how do they determine the rest of the car? I mean, unless it's a distance shot. If it's a close-up of the valve stem, that's one thing.
No, it would be show the wheel
well. But how do they tell my tire from your tire?
It would have to show a quarter of the rim, some of the tire, and some of the ground, because, you know, I can just take another picture of the tire somewhere.
Well, it should indicate that it's your car to the exclusion of all others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a blue car. So my blue car and your blue car may be entirely different, but if all we see is the fender and the blue, how do they know it's my car that deserves the ticket and not yours?
Well, by the ground is different underneath it.
I say that chalking is still the simplest way.
Do you? Okay. I think photography will be the best way. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking all things transportation as they relate to violations. Joe thinks arresting individuals without probable cause is okay. I say that's not right. What do you say?
You get arrested for overparking, do you?
Well, you can be. Could it eventually lead to arrest? Suppose you don't take it and you get summoned to the magistrate's office.
Well, if you ignore enough tickets, yes, they eventually will come have a word with you.
Yeah, that's not right. All because of an illegal search to start with. Dick, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in from Milton, PA.
I just wanted to comment. Last week in the Penn Live or the Harrisburg Patriot News, there was a headline article about the Thruway Bridge, and PennDOT's going to do a study, a wind study on that bridge, basically on vehicles on high, long, over bridges like that. I mean, that's been done for years, and I'm not sure if the bridge is going to be up. It's almost, two-thirds of the way along. So I guess what will happen is if they restrict traffic, they'll go through downtown Lewisburg again.
Well, or through Northumberland.
I'm not sure what they'll do. I mean, obviously, I mean, I Googled that, and it's all over the Internet about wind on truck tractor trailers. I'm not sure why they would do the study now. I mean, didn't they think there was going to be wind at 187 foot?
Yeah,
they
did think there was going to be wind at 187 feet, and I think it was always part of their plan to eventually study it. But the thing is, the bridge had to be built, and it had to be built there in order for everything to work for the project. So the time to study it is before it's built, or before it's, you know, actually in use, and that's what they're doing.
And
I would have thought they would have had a pretty good handle on what it was going to do before they actually put the bridge up. That's my only point.
Well, there it's supposition. You know, you're guessing what's going to happen when the bridge is actually up. But we talked to them. They gave us this report, 2 months ago at a transportation committee meeting. And the decision, you know, we asked them, and I asked specifically, what is the speed of wind at which they would have to do something to close the bridge? And their answer was, well, that's why we're studying it. We don't know. We don't know what the impact is until we see the final design of the bridge, how it fits, you know, how the wind hits it. They did have an instance where wind did move one of the beams a little bit and had to be repositioned, but that's during the construction phase. So, I mean, I think they're doing it at the right time, but we have to have the bridge and we have to have the project. So the question becomes, how do we make it safe? And that's what PennDOT's focused on now.
Well, an empty tractor trailer box would blow over faster than a full one.
Sure. But, you know, we had, where was that one? Was it the Milton Bridge? Or there was one truck that did blow over here in high wind on one of the bridges.
Oh, I don't remember.
And they're not 180 feet in the air either.
No, they're not. And as a boater, I can tell you the wind up that side of the river can be pretty strong.
Well, I've been fishing for 40 years, and I've been on that river for 40 years, so I spent a lot of days out there when it was windy, and there's a lot of days I won't go out there when it's really windy, and I have a pretty good boat.
No, I agree with you. I agree.
I don't drive a tractor trailer at 180 feet.
There are times I wouldn't go out in the high wind either, so I completely agree with you.
I mean, I can see days when they just won't, or times of the day where they'll restrict traffic on that bridge, at least for tractor trailers. And I guess that's my only point. So downtown Lewisburg will take the beating again on those days.
I doubt it. I think probably unless they're headed to Lewisburg, they might just go up to 80 and across because they figured that would be safer and faster.
Or go back to Northumberland. I don't think
they don't go to Route 80 to get across the river because all those trucking companies are at that end of the, most of them are in the lower end of by Montana, and there's lots and lots and lots of tractor trailers from Lace Markets and Milton Transportation and Watsontown Trucking. You can't, the count's unending.
That's why
they're doing the study now about the traffic in Lewisburg. So I'm not telling you it's going to happen very often, but that'll be the route. They won't going to drive up to Route 80 and drive back down to Montana, and that's not going to happen.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate the call.
Well, I think most it depend of them, on your view of how your truck will perform in the wind.
I think it's most of them will go back to Northumberland. That's what they're really bypassing.
Well, how are they going to turn around? There would have to be a warning.
They go up Route 147.
No, there'd have to be an advance warning ahead of the bridge somewhere down here. You know, one of those signs that says, trucks over so many feet, do not use.
Right, it'll be in Shamokin Dam. Either go to Northumberland or.
Well, it'll have to be on the bypass, which probably would not be in Shamokin Dam, because if you stay on the bypass, you would wind up crossing the bridge.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Either south of Sealands Grove. Or
way back there. Okay.
At some point where they can get off, there's going to have to be a sign saying, you know, if you're a tractor trailer, don't use the new bridge.
Well, and different trucks are vulnerable to different winds, so, you know, you're going to have to come up with your own vulnerability factor based on whether you're, I mean, if you're hauling a full load, 80 tons, in a tractor trailer, you're not going to blow over because of a strong wind.
I wouldn't think.
But if you get a big, tall, empty box truck, that could blow over. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quickie break. Let me tell you about the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. It is 1-800-795-9565. It is open right now, and it is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street, which is Route 45 in Mifflinburg, the Norrie Pharmacy, which is Duke Street, Route 147 in Northumberland, and which, incidentally, despite all the Northumberland construction, you can go right to Northumberland and get to the Norrie Pharmacy. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop is up on Market Street in Bloomsburg at that plaza that's been there for decades. And at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg, you'll find Brad. You'll see Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy, Tyler at Trutz Pharmacy, Terry at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. We tell you about some of the owners and their family or the staffers because you get to know people on a first-name basis, and they want you to buy local because every dollar locally gets spent locally 10 times over. So check out your local Hometown Pharmacies, doing yourself a favor. Sometimes finding delivery is something you need, or drug take-back boxes, they take good care of you with fantastic service. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to talk about the State Auditor General, Eugene DePasquale, talking about state police funding. We're going to tap Joe's fabulous wealth of knowledge about all things PennDOT, since he's a shill for them. He'll know the answer to these questions. Coming up on WDKO. Okay. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, lower right-hand corner, if you would, Joe.
Well, I think they should make it a covered bridge. Otherwise, when we have snow and ice conditions, people won't be slipping and sliding over the edge to their doom.
Joe's Memorial Amish Bridge.
Dave on the Hill. Dave, you're certainly being cynical.
Well, no,
there will be edge protectors on the side. Nobody is going to slide over the edge to their doom. They might flip over the edge to their doom, but they won't slide over.
Would there be a fence so you can't drop stones off it and onto people below?
In the river, you mean?
Right, boaters or cars on some of the
roadways. I guess they'll do that. I mean, do they? That's now state law on all bridges, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, well, so that's probably what will happen.
1-800-795-9565. Paul, what do you know? Everything. I know. I shouldn't even ask.
Well, I talked to your engineer, and I asked him a question, and I told him, I said, there's 5,280 feet in a mile, and the average car averages about 14 feet. So at that rate, if you have 45 cars bumper to bumper, you have a little over a mile of traffic.
What? 14 cars?
40.
Oh, 40.
40.
I thought he said 14, too.
Well, a mile is only 40 cars. That doesn't seem like enough.
Bumper to bumper.
Right.
He said the average is 14 feet in length. Is that what you said?
Yeah. That's not right. That's not enough. I could run past 40 cars in a heartbeat.
Not quite 5,000 feet, but there's 5,280.
40 times 14 equals 560. You're missing it. It'd be 400 cars you need.
Well... Okay.
How many feet in a mile?
5,280.
Okay. Oh, I knew that. I'm sorry. Divided by 14.
1,760 yards.
Yeah, you need 377 cars.
Okay.
You need to get a new calculator, Paul.
Your batteries are low.
Well, the one that I have upstairs is dying down.
Okay, right. The batteries are low. They're not quite dead. But anyway, we digress. It
causes them to drop a zero.
If this is going to be the problem, then you are having cars being produced at thousands a month, and it won't be long until you won't be able to drive anywhere because there's no space in order for you to drive.
Well, yeah, but a certain number of cars drop out each month, sadly.
Now, wait a minute. How many times have you passed a car lot and seen the used cars in a parking lot compared with the new ones?
Okay, well, yeah, it only makes sense there's more used cars out there because each year we add another million cars to the pile.
But
and presumably we junk
a
million.
I know, but your problem would be if we went back to horses, how would an officer ticket a horse?
Who's going back to horses? Horses get free parking at Wise's,
I know, but you can make time with a horse than you can with a car because they don't take up as much traffic.
All right.
But the Amish do it.
Yeah, I bet they do.
And I've seen horses actually pass me out when I was in traffic.
Oh, well, that makes sense. So do bicycles and motorcycles. I mean, if the motorcycle's riding illegally on the shoulder.
But your point, if I understood you, Paul, was that eventually there will be total gridlock because all the cars will have no place to go.
Right.
Absolutely.
But that's ridiculous, Paul, with all due respect, because not every car is going to be out on the road at the same time.
Yeah, that's our saving grace, is that most people in the world aren't driving anywhere right now.
At the moment. Yeah, probably more cars parked at home than there are out on the road.
Oh, my gosh, definitely.
Now,
there's millions of cars
at home. If
there
were some sort of national disaster like an alien invasion or a zombie apocalypse, then presumably people would be all out on the road at the same time.
Or during the morning rush hour.
Then I suppose you guys have driven in New York or Atlanta or Dallas and seeing the traffic that they have.
I don't know that I ever... I've been to New York many times, but I don't think I ever drove there.
Well, Los Angeles, the traffic jams on the expressways are pretty obvious. I mean, you can see photographs of them at rush hour, they are pretty much bumper to bumper. So,
well, in Atlanta, people have to start their commuting at 5:30 in the morning in order to get into Atlanta before 7.
Okay.
But, Paul, those are isolated areas. That's not the whole country. You can drive on Interstate 80 across the country, and maybe you get into three or four cars in a row, but usually there's plenty of space between them.
Yeah, it only takes you 90 minutes to cross some of the New England states on an interstate.
That's only if you do the speed limit, but nobody drives the speed limit, if you can. Because in Atlanta, they had 9 lanes of traffic, and they ran into problems where the cops, I'm sorry, the policemen would not stop anybody to give him a ticket because they were afraid they'd get run over.
They had no place to stop.
Smart guys.
All right, we got you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
I appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. So what do you think about funding state police? Eugene DePasquale says the legislature's stealing money from the Motor Vehicle Road Fund and giving it to the state police.
Well, I wouldn't call it stealing, but I think it's misplaced financing, to be honest with you. The PennDOT money should not be taken to finance the state police, but the logic behind it is undeniable. A large part of what the state police do is patrol the highways of Pennsylvania. And so the highways are a function of PennDOT. If the police provide safety, that to me is not much different than, you know, PennDOT spending money on safety improvements for a highway. If you have unfettered, you know, completely unenforced laws on the turnpike or on the interstate highways or highways of Pennsylvania, you've got a problem. So the state police have a legitimate function on state highways. The question is, should they be funded by the state transportation department? I think you can make a case that some of their funding should come from
there. Half of it?
Well, I think, I don't know how much it is, but if you remember, Senator Gordner was on our program a while back, and he said that the state has capped the amount of money that can be used out of the transportation funds to pay for the state police. And that cap, I think, decreases each year until it gets to a certain point. Mm. The alternative is that the governor has floated, and he's not the first one to float it, is that municipalities that don't have a police department should pay a fee for state police protection.
So that'll pay for some of it.
But state police typically don't go into a community like that to enforce, well, they don't enforce ordinances, and they only go if there's a crime or if they routinely patrol the streets in that municipality. You know, let's face it, the state police don't routinely patrol Park Road, probably, in Monroe Township. But if they're called there, they go there. And if they happen to be going through that area to get somewhere else and they see a violation, I'm sure they will pull people over. But they don't set up speed traps along there, or they don't deliberately sit at stop signs to see if someone is breaking the law. So I think it's fair that municipalities that don't have their own police department pay something. I think the cost should be apportioned between PennDOT, municipalities that don't have police protection,
and the general fund. Right, because everybody benefits from the state police. I live in a municipality, Northumberland, that doesn't utilize state police. We have municipal police. But the first time there's a big crime, guess what? The state police get called to assist
it's a two-way
in the investigation.
Street.
And the state police lab kicks in.
It's a two-way street, too, because many times if the state police are shorthanded or they're at another end of the county, I know in Shamokin Dam, our police get called out of the borough to maybe sit on a traffic accident until the state police can get there. You know, so it's a two-way street, municipalities. But, like, take Shamokin Dam. We don't have 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week police protection. So should we provide some additional funding? I think there has to be a sliding scale based on your effort, how much effort you make at police protection to determine how much you should pay.
All right. We have one suggestion that relates to state police funding. Eugene DePasquale says it doesn't matter where you get the money. It's stealing if you're taking it out of the motor license fund. So 1-800-795-9565. How should we resolve this? 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.